Good morning. My name is Wendy, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Decisions by the Exchange Commission and Balance of Payments Projections conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you, Mr. Gerardo Rodriguez. You may begin your conference.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. Here with me is Miguel Mesmacher, Head of the Economic Planning Unit of the Ministry of Finance, and Javier Duclos from the Central Bank. I will make some introductory remarks and some comments on the capital account of the balance of payments. Then I will pass it over to Miguel to comment some issues on our revisions for the current account projections. And Javier Duclos will close with broad market-related comments before we can proceed to the question-and-answer session. As you know, in March, the Exchange Rate Commission decided to modify the intervention mechanism to move towards a more transparent way to supply dollars to the marketplace. The rationale behind that, as it was published back then, was based on the fact that the external accounts were in a relatively good shape for 2009, and also to try to help the market to reestablish more normal functioning conditions as external markets were starting to behave in a much better way by trying to take out the uncertainty related to the activities of intervention by the Mexican authorities, and with that try to reestablish more orderly functioning conditions to the FX market. Since then, as Javier will comment, the market has sort of improved these functioning conditions. This time around, the Exchange Rate Commission actually came up with updated projections of the external accounts that basically confirms its assessment that it made back in March in terms of the healthy balance of the external accounts for overall 2009. Let me comment just a few items in the capital account. As you saw in the press release by the Exchange Rate Commission, the projections that we have for public indebtedness were not changed in an important way. The idea that we have there, as you know, is to rely heavily in the financing by multilaterals, basically World Bank, IDB lending, plus other external sources of funding, that all in all will give the public sector a net indebtedness of more than $10 billion, more than $10 billion. In terms of private debt, we basically stay with the same projection of a reduction of external debt of $3.6 billion, which is basically sustained by the fact that the amortization schedule for the private sector with regards to external debt is relatively mild. The private sector had been preparing by strengthening its balance sheet and relying less and less on external financing, so that this year when external financing conditions have been relatively tight, they are in a position of relative strength. What we saw in the first quarter, what we have in the revised projections is the benefit of knowing the numbers for the first quarter, which we did not back in March in the prior Exchange Rate Commission announcement. For example, in the case of the private sector debt, we saw higher amortizations than what we were expecting for that quarter, notwithstanding that we're staying with the same projection for the year as a whole of $3.6 billion, based on the fact that external conditions are improving substantially. In terms of foreign investment, we're lowering substantially the projection, just basically related to lower economic activity and the effect that that has in foreign direct investment. For the first quarter, what we saw in terms of FDI is consistent with this new projection. And in terms of portfolio flows, we've seen a slight positive net flow in the first quarter, mostly related to the stock market. Just to finalize on the asset item of the capital account, we're also lowering substantially the projection that we had back in March, based on what we have observed in the first quarter of the year. Basically, what we saw is a higher investment by Mexicans abroad, and also a higher level of asset creation in the financial system abroad by Mexicans that have made us adjust the full year projection. On top of that, what we have done here is the oil hedge that, as you know, comes as an item in the asset side of the capital account. We also lowered our estimates of the oil hedge based on the increase that we have seen in the price of oil. So all in all, the capital account, we're expecting that to be positive in the order of $20 billion, lower than the $27.4 billion that we were projecting back in March. With that, let me turn it to Miguel to make some comments on the current account.
Good morning, everybody. I will go very briefly over the different components of the current account and also on the revision on FDI. As you can see in the table that is in the document that we attach, and that Gerardo mentioned, we actually have an improvement in the oil balance projections for 2009 with respect to the projections that were presented in our previous communique, and that's basically due to two factors. One first factor, which is obviously very important, is a partial recovery in the price of oil that we've observed. Nevertheless, this number is still relatively conservative given the prices that we're currently observing. So for these projections, we're actually using a value for the oil Mexican mix, an average value for the year, in the order of $44 per barrel. So in that sense, it's relatively conservative with respect to the numbers, the latest numbers and prices that we're observing. A second element, obviously, is due to the fact that a sharper economic deceleration is leading to lower gasoline imports, which is a second component that actually improves the oil balance projection with respect to what we had before. We also have a significant improvement in terms of the non-oil balance, which nevertheless implies a deterioration during particularly the second half of the year with respect to what we observed in the first quarter of the year. As all of you know, the numbers during the first quarter imply a non-oil trade balance and an overall trade balance that was actually in surplus during March and April of this year. And in that respect, probably this projection is still somewhat conservative in the sense that it does assume that as activity starts to pick up during the second half of the year, the trade balance would tend to deteriorate. But probably this might be interpreted as a relatively upper bound on that. In terms of non-factor services, we do have a slight deterioration, which is basically related with the effect of the influenza episode on tourism receipts. And then finally, factor services balance is slightly lower due to lower profits of firms. And then the transfer balance we've revised slightly downwards. These are basically remittances. Though, once again, the assumption here is of a sharp contraction in remittances in the order of 13% in real terms during the year, which is something that we have not yet seen. So it still seems to be a relatively conservative assumption. Finally, from the point of view of foreign investment, we did a very important revision downwards in terms of the numbers, basically related with the bad result that we observed during the first quarter of the year, which basically has to do with a very sharp reduction in new investments and a sharp reduction as well in terms of reinvested profits. Nevertheless, this number is consistent with the result that we observed during the first quarter, assuming a slight improvement during the second half of the year with respect to the number that was observed in the first quarter of the year, but not a very dramatic improvement. So with that, let me give the word forward to Javier Duclos from Banco.
Thank you, Miguel. Good morning. Well, let me just briefly give you my point of view with regards to the functioning of the markets since the last announcement of the Exchange Rate Commission. I think it is quite clear that the exchange rate, the peso, is now behaving much more orderly, and there are several indicators that I think confirm this perception. First of all, volume in the foreign exchange market has picked up quite substantially relative to where it was when we had these very dramatic events in October and up to probably February and March. We have numbers that are close in the spot markets to like $4 billion daily of turnover that is traded out of Mexican banks, and also numbers that approximate to around $10 to $11 billion in the swap market. You might well remember that we experienced at the end of last year important distortions in the swap market where first we saw high pressures on the dollar funding rates coming out of swaps in that market, and then we saw renewed pressures on the peso rates implied in that market. All these distortions that occurred, I think, are now pretty much done with, and they have been behaving quite stable. A second important factor, I think, is the way volatility has behaved. As you well know, as market participants, volatility levels have been coming down. Even in the face of, worse than anticipated news on the economic front, I think a lot of the adjustment on the balance of payments that Gerardo and Miguel just pointed out clearly are responsible partially for these lower volatility levels. And also you can see, if you look deeper into the option markets, that the skew that is implied on the peso distribution has also been correcting itself. We now have a much more symmetric distribution on anticipated peso movements. And even in the face of some of these very important events, such as the influenza that we are just coming out of, we did not see any particular pressures coming out of the peso market. Of course, as you well know, the external markets have been friendly, and with regards to probably giving force to this new stability of the market. But I would also mention that the fact that the perception is now that many of these corporate transactions, which created a lot of uncertainty at the end of last year, have pretty much been cleaned up, is also weighing favorably on the markets. Just to give a particular example, this week we witnessed a substantially large transaction in the foreign exchange market from the corporate sector that was easily absorbed by the market without any major disruptions on the currency. So this, I think, confirms to us that we are now in a much better foreign exchange environment. Now, of course, going forward, there are many things that are going to be important, but I think one of the things that the market is now comfortable with is that we are moving, and this is touching upon the decision of the Exchange Rate Commission, in the direction of having a less important participation in the market with regards to the selling of dollars that the Banco de Mexico has been doing. You know, as you know, we had to respond to very particular events at the end of last year and the beginning of this year. But what we are doing now is by making these reductions on the sale of dollars, adjusting to the new levels of the balance of payments expectations, we are really moving in the direction of having a lower presence in the marketplace. And this is the reason why we are now reducing this amount of daily dollar sales from 100 to 50 and the contingent dollar sales from 300 to 250, which are consistent with level of reserves based on these assumptions that Miguel just pointed out, of closely the same amount at which we finished at the end of last year. So I think there are, in my opinion, encouraging encouraging news coming out of the behavior of the markets in general. So let me end up there and maybe leave it to particular questions that may come about from both presentations. Thank you.
Thank you, operator. We can now proceed to the question and answer section.
At this time, in order to ask a question, press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We will pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Your first question comes from the line of Gabrielle. Gabrielle, your line is open. Your next question comes from the line of Rafael.
Yes, hello. I have a question on the use of the Fed swap line and how it fits in with your balance of payments calculations on the capital account. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, you drew down just over $3 billion and auctioned it off to the local banks. And I assume some of that money must have then in turn made it to the corporates and in turn have them float some of the money abroad. Is this taken into account in your capital account calculations? And do we know how effective the banks have been in getting some of those funds to the corporates that needed them? Thank you.
Yes, thank you for the question. And here, Javier can complement in terms of the potential use that banks have been doing with the line. As you know, the first auction took place during the second quarter. So the actual numbers were not captured in the numbers published of the balance of payments for the first quarter of the year. And you're right that that should be registered as an item, as a funding item of the public sector as a whole, which is how we're considering it. However, what we don't know yet is what secondary effects the swap line will have in other items of the capital account. For example, if banks are replacing external financing that they already had with the financial sector, then we might see some outflow in, say, other item of the capital account, which would basically compensate this inflow of the swap line. So we're expecting there, just to confirm the numbers for the second quarter, and based on that, have the precise effect for the annual projections. We are leaning more on the conservative side in the current projections that we have, precisely because we don't know exactly the net flow that will be related to this money and how much of other external liabilities it will basically crowd out.
Thank you very much.
Again, in order to ask a question, press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from line of Gabriel Castillas.
Hello, everybody. Thanks, Gerardo, Miguel, and Javier for this effort to address market participants about this important issue. Just a question to Gerardo. Gerardo, with respect to the assets part of the balance of payments, I would like to ask which factors did you consider to arrive to this number? In particular, I believe that an update to the oil hedge payoff was important, as you mentioned, as well as certain private companies' investments abroad, such as perhaps Bimbo or Lala, to mention a few, play also an important role here. Well, what about the U.S. Fed swap, for example, or other factors? Thanks.
Yes, thank you, Gabriel. In our projections, in our original projection, basically the only two items that we had back in March was the oil hedge, which was at $42 per barrel, I think, back in March, and then an investment of that Bimbo did to purchase George Weston. So we had a positive effect because of the oil hedge and then a negative effect in the case of Bimbo. What we have done since then is to update those numbers based on the additional information that we've had. First, oil prices have been higher, and the number that we used here were, say, the futures prices that we had back then, $46.7 per barrel for the Mexican mix. There is additional investment by Mexicans abroad in the case of America Mobil, for example, that has been registered already in the first quarter of this year. And also in the first quarter of this year, what we saw is a creation of almost $3 billion of deposits by Mexicans in the U.S. Financial system. We don't have very specific information of that particular transactions. It has been only registered in the capital accounts for the first quarter, and what we assume is that this is a permanent effect going forward. There is this additional item that you mentioned of the LALA investment, which hasn't been recorded in the first quarter because the transaction was executed, I think, in April. So we will have that in the figures for the second quarter. However, we are including those $500 million for our annual projection. So in summary, what we have for the annual projections of $1.4 billion positive is the oil hedge on the positive side, and on the negative side is the investment by Mexican companies abroad, plus, say, the numbers that we registered in the first quarter in terms of deposits by Mexicans abroad, for which, as I mentioned, we don't have very specific information yet. Thank you.
Thank you.
Again, in order to ask a question, press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from the line of Jamina.
Hello. This is a fiscal question, if I may ask, for Miguel or Gerardo. Given some comments by Governor Ortiz yesterday about the need to boost tax receipts, perhaps in the aftermath of the July elections, do you have any more information regarding the fiscal measures that the Treasury is planning to introduce in the 2010 budget on, that were mentioned in the indications and submitted to Congress in March, or any more color on any potential reform that we may see in time for the 2010 budget? Thanks.
Not yet. If you remember, in addition to the comments by Governor Ortiz, Minister Carstens also mentioned that we will probably be facing a shortfall in terms of fiscal revenues this year of close to 300 billion pesos, which was sort of an updating with respect to the reduction in revenues that we had already reported in the document that you mentioned that we sent to Congress in April. In that document, we were mentioning a shortfall of revenues for this year in the order of 225 billion pesos. So Minister Carstens already updated this shortfall in revenues for 2009 to 300 billion pesos. This is basically a result of the revision that we did in terms of growth to a reduction of minus 5.5%, also mentioned by the minister, together with the effect that we mentioned from the influenza episode, which will have an effect on revenues of close to 15 billion pesos. So that's basically what explains the increase in the fiscal shortfall for this year from the 225 that we had reported in this document to 300 in our latest projections. Our projections are as well that the fiscal shortfall at this point could be similar in 2010. Now, obviously, all of this will probably depend on a set of different factors that we observe from now until the time when we send the budget to Congress. Obviously, we'll need to review how economic activity is evolving until August before we make our growth projections for the budget for 2010. And obviously, a very important element will be the price of oil, which, as you've seen, has recovered in a very significant way. The evolution of these two factors will be determining the size of the shortfall for 2010, and on the basis of that, we will have to end up deciding sort of what set of all the fiscal measures that we're possibly considering we could actually be proposing in terms of reforms. Obviously, one element that the minister has already emphasized is the possibility of moving towards a structural balance rule. The rule that we have as of now already has structural elements from the point of view of oil, but it does not have structural elements from the point of view of GDP and the output gap. So that is one element that will probably be there for sure.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Alonso.
Thank you. Good morning. Can you comment on your forecast change for the errors and omissions item, line item for 2009? You're moving from zero in 2009 to minus $1.6 billion. Is that a plug figure? And also, can you comment on the foreign investment figure for 2008? It seems to be a little higher than, I don't know if that includes portfolio inflows. If it's only FDI, it appears to be some $4 billion higher than the actual numbers posted by the central bank a few weeks ago. Thank you.
Thank you, Alonso. You're right that the foreign investment that you see here includes both FDI and portfolio investment. The thing here is that our March projection was assuming zero portfolio flow for the year as a whole. And since then, in the first quarter, we've seen some slight positive flows in terms of portfolio flows, and we have adjusted downwards very sharply our projection for FDI. That all in all give us the annual projection of $11.68 billion that we have published in the press release. With regards to errors and omissions, you are right that we were assuming that at zero. In the first quarter, we had a negative $1.6 billion in that item. And since we cannot project that accurately, we're just assuming that that number remains the same for the year as a whole. Thank you.
Thank you.
Again, in order to ask a question, press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We have a follow-up question from Milana Rafael.
That's the fiscal question. I take advantage of the fact that you're there to ask another one. With the oil price rising, there's some reports in the press about the implicit gasoline subsidy and the price of that going up. Now, given the fiscal problems that you may be encountering, how do you foresee tackling that issue? Could we see a dismantling of the subsidy going forward? Or given the problems with bringing down inflation, is that something that won't be on the cards at this point? Thank you.
Basically, what we've seen, as you mentioned, we've seen changes in the relationship between domestic gasoline prices and foreign gasoline prices. Clearly, up until recently, domestic prices of gasoline were higher than international prices, so we did not have a subsidy anymore as we had originally, as we had last year, for example. So in that respect, for the year as a whole, this has been a positive tax, which obviously has compensated partly for the lower oil revenues. So in that respect, it's been until recently, and it partly has to do with the seasonality that you observe in gasoline prices in the U.S. As you know, typically you observe low gasoline prices during the winter months and part of the spring, and then as the summer approaches, you start to see increases in domestic prices in the U.S. So from the point of view of yearly projections, it's not clear whether you will end up having a positive tax on gasoline, or it will be closer to zero or perhaps a mild subsidy. So in that respect, we obviously continue to need to have more information in order to decide, but for the time being, we do not have sufficient information to make any types of changes to the arrangement as it stands now.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
To ask a question, press star 1. Your next question comes from the line of Paolo.
Yes, good morning. Paolo Lema here. First of all, thank you very much for the conference call. I have two related questions. First, in terms of balance of risks to the balance of payments, specifically for the current account and the capital account, which my opinion, I think, is to the upside. In other words, could be better than your conservative forecast. And second, if you could discuss also on the need or not to draw on a second tranche of the Fed swap. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Paolo, for your question. We think that the numbers that we have here, that we have updated, are our best estimates based on the information that we have there. And being on the government side, we tend to be conservative in our best estimates. No, that's the only thing I could say. It is actually quite hard to project the different items of the capital account just because they depend on so many things. So we try to do our best and come up with these numbers. Let me say, however, that perhaps the two biggest items in the capital account, which are the funding of the public sector and the oil hedge, are almost a given item. No? As time is going by, the amount that we expect to receive for the oil hedge tends to change less and less over time, just because the hedge is based on the average price of oil for the year. And the public sector funding activities, it is something that, I mean, are already underway, and we are basically confident that we'll be able to get the $10.6 billion of net funding for the year as a whole. In terms of the FCL, I will pass it over to Javier.
Hi, Paolo. Thank you for the question. I think one of the things we are looking at very, very closely to see if it is time to renew the swap line with the Fed is, first of all, looking at market indicators that might signal to us that there is actually stress on dollar funding rates on the corporate market and, of course, on the financial market. That doesn't seem to be the case at this moment in particular. If anything, like you suggest, in the margin, I think we are seeing better external conditions of financing, which leads us to believe that for the time being, this probably will not be necessary. I would like to add up something with regards to what was mentioned previously by Gerardo in the explanation of how the swap was used. Even if some of the participants in the first auction just substituted liabilities and not necessarily allocated those resources directly to the corporate market, the mere fact that you are adding new resources into the market liberates some resources that would eventually be available for somebody else. So I think if you look at the demand-supply conditions at the moment, they seem to suggest that there is no need to actually activate the line right now.
Thank you very much.
Your next question comes from the line of Benito.
Hi, thank you for the call. With respect to, and I guess it's a question for Miguel, what do you think is going to be the impact on the linkage between the manufacturing sector in Mexico and the U.S. given the restructure that we're seeing in the auto sector in the U.S.? Thank you.
Well, basically, I mean, obviously, all of this is in sharp flux, and we do not have very strong or sharp information or confirmation, let's say, from the headquarters of what role their Mexican plants will play in general in their restructuring plans. But overall, what we have heard and the communication and the discussions we've had with foreign plants, with sort of the foreign companies as well as the directors of the Mexican plants, is that in general, a lot of companies are considering on increasing
in a very important way their production in Mexico. And what you can see is that there have been announcements from, for example, from the likes of Nissan, Volkswagen, about increasing their production in Mexico going forward, given the competitiveness that we have in the sector, and in general, sort of the signals from the three large American companies is that their activities might be temporarily affected, but overall they continue to see Mexico as a crucial part of their strategy going forward for production. Obviously, a very important element has been that all their Mexican plants have been highly profitable, which is in very sharp contrast with the plants that they've had, particularly in the U.S. So in general, even though clearly we need to have more details, the signals have been quite positive from the point of view of medium-term perspectives going forward in terms of auto production in Mexico.
Thank you.
Again, in order to ask a question, press star 1 on your telephone keypad. And there are no further questions at this time.
Well, if there are no further questions with that, we could just finish the call by thanking everyone their participation. As you know, we are all open, both on the central bank side and on the Ministry of Finance side, with any questions or comments that you may have or any requests for information via email or telephone. We would be happy to stay in contact with you all. Thank you very much.
This concludes today's conference. You may now disconnect.